Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
All righty, and we have appropriate professionals in the office today in our studio live, all 6 feet apart. We have Mr. Dennis Prout and Heidi Thompson from Prout Financial Design. Good morning, Dennis.
It's great to be here, Ron. It seems as though the disclosure gets longer and longer. We're going to give a quiz here in a couple weeks, and whoever gets it right gets a box of chocolates.
Hey. How many compliance departments?
No kidding. Exactly. Well, it's great to be here on 326, March 26th of 2020. Thank you so much for listening. We have a lot to talk about given the turn in the markets. Thank goodness for that, eh? A lot to talk about given history and how we might respond and learn from this and learn from it. Joining us this morning as well is Heidi Thompson.
Good morning.
Financial advisor at Prout Financial Design. Well, this week, we are talking about playing offense when the world is saying you should play defense. Playing offense when the rest of the world says, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. Well, in some respects, it did, and it still is. There is still bad news going on out there, but how do we respond? And how do we weigh, W-E-I-G-H, of course you know that, how do we weigh the different competing messages we're getting, and how do we respond in the way that generally will be most helpful to us? What can we do with what there is? Great quote from Ernest Hemingway, now is no time to think of what you do not have. Or maybe thinking of, well, I wish I would have got out on February 20th at the market high, and, you know, then I could get in now.
Yeah.
Oh, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Do you know anyone who did that?
I don't have a crystal ball.
Crickets, right? Know. Crickets. It was anyone in the news talking about this is the market high. Hello, time out. You need to get everything out now. Well, there are always those people who say that, perhaps. But just let them try to get back in, right? They are usually wrong in one aspect or another, and it makes it an impossible thing to time. Who could have foreseen, of course, all of this coronavirus having this kind of an impact? The absolutely exponential way in which the curve generally goes up as to the continuing illnesses and or sickness that occurs from the coronavirus itself, how contagious it is, an absolute contagion. This disruption that's going on is trying to keep hospitals still able to treat people effectively. Mm-hmm. And we're already seeing, of course, even locally, Munson asking for more masks and all the rest related, because they're already going through a significant number of those health-related items. Yep. So many people trying to help out, local businesses and the whole thing. So we're going to talk about negativity bias a bit more today, but also more talking about what you can do with what there is in this show. Negativity bias, I actually printed it off from Wikipedia this morning. It's a relatively short definition here, just at the very beginning of it. Actually, the article is about 15 pages long. We're just going to read a bit of it. Negativity bias, also known as a negativity effect, is the notion that even when of equal intensity, things of a more negative nature, unpleasant thoughts, emotions, or social interactions, harmful, traumatic events, have a greater effect on one's psychological state and processes than neutral or positive things. they tend to be more negative in our minds. We tend to give them more weight. That's what we do as humans. I was actually thinking of history and some of the articles that have appeared in magazines from and other financial publications from long ago. 1973, August, Business Week. The Death of Equities was the article, and it went on page after page after page of detail about why the market was done.
Well, I and think they called, were a little off on that prediction.
Yes, they called just about exactly the bottom of the stock market at that point. I mean, it went into ad nauseum detail about why the equity markets were dead. Everyone was moving into municipal bonds, real estate, whatever other asset there could be, equities were done. It just points up the basic premise of diversification. Why do we have to have our money in the stock market when we're trying to retire? You don't have to. Nobody said you have to, obviously. But for those who want some exposure to the business environment, that is one of the more efficient ways by employing people who are buying equities and or companies because they think or believe that those companies have value in the long term that will be realized from the stock market and that business itself.
Right. And one of the risks in retirement is inflation risk. And being invested in the market is one way that you can help mitigate that inflation risk a little bit because the market keeps up with the economy or follows the economy. So
it has tended to, absolutely. Now, since 1934, all these things go into my mind, rather, in terms of historic rates of return. Many mutual funds that have been involved in the markets for decades, some since 1934, 1950s, have averaged over 10% per year. Of course, you have to be willing to go through the ups and downs of those markets as well. And as that article pointed out, it wasn't all a field or bed of roses on the way. 1987 October, that market was known, that Monday was known as Black Monday when the market went down by about 30% from my recollection.
That's what I was going to ask. How does this compare? Assuming the 18,000 low point here, was it 18.5, say, was down from nearly 30,000. So that would be
about 35%.
35% drop.
Yes.
How does that compare to Black Monday or some of these other downturns?
It's a little bit more than Black Monday, from my recollection. I believe the market was at about 2,700 in August of that year, and by the end of Black Monday that day, it was down to about 1,700, 1,800, if my memory serves. What's interesting is where the market started that year was where it ended about the beginning. January of 87 and December of 87 were pretty similar in terms of price. So it's very interesting to note that those who are able to stay invested for the long term tend to do much better. Trying to time it is not a good thing. And obviously then the big question or concern related to that is if our retirement is tied into something with this much volatility, how much more important is it to have an allocation that we can live with when things don't go well? Critical piece of that part of that pie, if you will, because if you can survive when things are really turning bad, and no one anticipated this kind of decline. If you can hold through that, that's the key. Because by the same token, no one anticipated. I heard no news people talking about the market was going to go up by more than 2,000 points on the Dow on Tuesday. No one anticipated that.
No.
None of the economists came out and predicted any of this.
No.
They do want to tell us why it happened, but they don't want to predict.
Yeah,
it.
Everyone's an expert in hindsight, aren't they? And isn't that interesting? Because the market is not looking at any of the things most of us are looking at. What do you mean by that? Well, what is the news saying? The news is saying, well, we can do a quick review here. New York State is in rough shape. They're having trouble keeping up. Beaumont Hospital here down in Detroit, jammed with people there. Yeah, all they can do to handle the number of cases. Bad news after bad news. That tends to be what sells. And you just hand me some of the headlines. Second Great Depression begins. Goldman Sachs expects a record 24% crash in quarter two GDP. Well, has the market already taken that into account? Pretty much. Why didn't the stock market go down when that headline came out? Because they weren't surprised. They weren't that surprised. This could go on for months, Cuomo says. He closes all non-essential businesses, orders 100% of workers to stay home. The crash of 2020 is now worse than the Great Depression. Now, that's another headline. Apparently, it's not now. Well, what's going on? The number of disruptors that have gone into the economy and into fighting this virus have been so significant that they countered that wave of negative news and negative reality. How did they counter that? We know this. Let's just review it. The number of medications to help people get better after they have the virus. Obviously, we don't have a vaccine yet, but this
chloroquine.
Thank you. As well as the
hydroxychloroquine and
hydroxychloroquine, as well as the Zithromax. Yeah. These kinds of medications to help people recuperate and recover much more quickly than previously thought. That's one good example of disruptors of that illness. Now, then the other thing, everyone's staying at home. All those disruptors are making a difference together so that we're not going to feel quite the impact, or in some cases near the impact we could have previously thought. And the death rate now, not that it makes the death, of course, thus any less real, is about 1.4%, which is where South Korea was, which is considered a very positive number.
One of the disruptors might be Washington, D.C.'s stimulus package, which boosted the market, because if all those people that are quarantining were to stay out of work, you'd have a lot of people go out of business and lose jobs, but Washington dumping all that money in. So that really jacked the market, I think, influenced them. But what about that $2 trillion? Where does that come from, and what role will that play now or in the future of the market, as you say? Any idea?
It's printed money, plain and simple, put in force by the Fed, and it's being made out of thin air. It is, plain and simple, to incentivize businesses to be able to keep their people on, to be able to make their payrolls, all the rest of those very practical things. And we're going to be talking, we hope to have John Sluice on either next week or the week following. Yeah. Talking about some of these new laws that have been incepted to help businesses stay in business and keep compensating their people, because the government is basically requiring all of us to stay home and forcing businesses to put people or make people work out of their homes and or just frankly stay home. A lot of this incentive then will be to help those businesses continue to pay those people. We're already seeing a 2-week benefit. For those companies that are still paying their employees, they're going to get it all back from the payroll taxes, what normally are payroll. They're going to get 100% credit back on their compensation of those employees. That's a 2-week time frame so far. So that's a new incentive program.
Accountants will be busy going into next tax season.
Oh, will they ever?
Yeah.
And so will employers, just trying to take a look, and employees, look at what's available to them and what they can take advantage of, given the significant slowdown in the economy. Now, the other side of it, of course, is the construction is very, very busy right now. This is very, very different. Excuse me. Heidi actually has some good information on that.
Well, I was listening to the Fox Business Channel this morning, and they had a gentleman on, and it really caught my attention when he's on. He's like, it's all different industries that are affected the most than what usually happens in a recession. Construction is one of the first things. People, if things aren't going well, they pull back on projects, et cetera, et cetera. And right now, construction people are people who work outside, and some of those are continuing on with their business. So he said it's different who's affected, and those workers who are working in food service and McDonald's and your local deli. Sometimes in a recession, those are the first jobs where they cut staff down, pare it down. And now those people are people will go to those jobs when they've lost their you know, full-time job. Maybe they work and take a shift at McDonald's or go work at a deli or something like that. This time, those are the people who are shut down first.
Okay.
So it's different, and it's not something that we've really encountered before, because this wasn't generated from the economy or a financial crisis. This was generated from a health crisis. So it's different industries that are being affected than usual. So.
Now that the response is the equal and opposing response in some respects to the health issues, mm-hmm. as well as the business issues, interest rates at all-time record lows, taxes are still extremely low, incentives going up significantly for business to continue to operate, all those, in essence, positives or interrupters, again, of what's happening are going to make a significant difference. And that's what the market is looking at now. They are always looking at least 3 to 6 months ahead. They're not looking with the current headlines. Now, obviously, we're all watching the headlines as the market goes down from 29.5 to 28,000 to 27.5 on down, down, down to about 18.2 was the actual low.
Mm-hmm.
18,200. Well, what's it going to do from there? Well, it's just going to crash and go down to 5,000, right? Well, obviously, it didn't. Because of all those disruptors that many people who are looking, if you're just looking at the news, you miss. You miss that the market is incredibly oversold, that looking at any stats based on history, and we'll talk about that after the break, those disruptors again turned that market back around, and it would appear as though we're bottoming at this point.
I was going to ask you, this is speculation, but do you see any signs that we have bottomed? The market's rallied big time 3 days in a row. What kind of things do you look at that give you optimism?
Well, the confirmation of the market uptick on Tuesday, when the, as measured by the Dow, was up over 2,000, did they have it confirmed the next day? It was up 400 or 500 points the next day, and it would appear that it's going to be up today as well. That confirmation of the increase is a very good start. Got Heidi talking about some of the things you can do with what there is. Hit it, Heidi.
Yeah, we sort of have a smorgasbord of different things. First, we talked about this a little bit last week, that while the market is down, it's a good time for Roth conversions or investing in a Roth IRA. Two reasons. One is if you do a Roth conversion, that means you're going to be paying taxes on a smaller asset cost than you would have if you had done this, say, in January.
If it were invested in a mutual fund that's invested in the stock market.
Correct.
Yes.
Or stock itself.
Yes.
Yes. And another point is now you have longer to make a Roth contribution for 2019.
That's new money going into mm-hmm. a Roth or regular IRA.
Correct. Well. Both. There's an extension. You used to be able to put a contribution for the previous year in all the way up to tax day, April 15th. But now they've moved tax day from April 15th to July 15th. So for those who haven't done their taxes, if they're looking maybe to get a credit for last year, pay less tax for 2019, maybe they could think about making that IRA contribution.
I never thought I'd see that ever. Hmm. Never even occurred to me that we'd ever have a date other than April 15th generally to make an IRA contribution. But they moved that goalpost. It's
right.
Amazing.
I was talking to John Sluice the other day, and I'm like, so now they've prolonged the agony for all those accountants out there.
Yeah.
Instead of it'll be over by April 15th, now it won't be over till July. So. Okay, some other things you might want to look, if you do need funds, you may want to look to your emergency fund to pull out cash if you need cash in the near term, and sort of let those investments in the market wait for that recovery. And then at that point, if you find that you don't like the risk that you've taken on, that would be the time maybe to make some allocation changes.
It's key in terms of taking withdrawals to look at what funds you have available to you, what assets are going to make the most sense, whether it's a CD, a fixed annuity, or bonds, generally considered more conservative and not nearly as directly related to the stock market. Those funds or those assets obviously make a lot more sense to liquidate at this point.
Right. And Dennis and I were discussing this morning how the group that might have one of the biggest impact to their plans are the people who are just retiring right now or just about to retire in the next 6 months or the next year, because of the value of their portfolio may have decreased and some of the plans they had made may need to be adjusted. So this could be something that you might want to take some time and think about. Could you retire 6 months later or a year later? And by doing that, there could be a couple of benefits to you, allowing your Social Security to grow. From 62 to 70, that income amount can rise by 8% per year. So that would be one benefit. Another benefit would be usually when we're about to retire, we're at our highest earning years. So every year that you have in history of having higher wages, that's going to go towards a better Social Security benefit as well.
That's correct. Social Security is based on your top 35 years of work earnings. Mm-hmm. Still a lot of confusion about that. It's not based on your 15 years or 20 or 25. It's 35 years. Those previous years, you know, when you were working back in the 80s, if you will.
At $20,000.
Yeah, $20,000. Even if you're making $35,000 today, obviously that's a better average income, which will be credited then to your Social Security benefit.
Right. So really thinking about that retirement date can have a positive impact and help you ride out this time. It could make up for some of the problems in the short term. So just some things to think about. Another idea that is proposed in the relief packages that are going through Congress right now is they're considering letting you take at least up to $100,000 from your 401k without a penalty. This would be for people who are under 59 and a half, who would normally, if you take money out, would be assessed a 10% penalty for taking it out early. So the proposed legislation, because I think it hasn't gone through the House yet, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Is to take that 10% penalty away. But you want to be careful when you're thinking about going to that as emergency cash.
Probably just about the worst place you could take it. But it may be available for those in very dire circumstances.
Right, but it is a place where you could go if you're in dire financial straits and that 10% penalty. But like Dennis was saying, you want to really think about it first. You also want to check with your plan administrator. I was reading this article from CNBC, and they were saying that not all, even though they may allow it, your plan may, their rules may say you have to take a loan first before you can take a hardship withdrawal. And so then you're in a whole different circumstance of paying that loan back.
So talk to your plan administrator first.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just some things that came up that maybe you can take advantage of or change your thinking and change your plans a little bit to get a better outcome.
So playing offense when the rest of the world is saying to play defense, some of the simplest things you can do is consider converting maybe your Roth IRA, or your regular IRA rather, to your Roth. Small amounts, anyone can do this. It doesn't matter your age or your income. There are no limitations to that, number one. Number two, when you're averaging in or moving money into the market, so your 401k, IRA, or whatever it is, if you're putting money in every month, do your best to make certain that those funds are going into stock and or stock type mutual funds. The way to profit from that is to invest through any cycles. It is not a guarantee of profit in any from any strategy such as this. But if you do invest through the cycle, your chance of a profit increases dramatically, and you buy more shares when the market is down. It doesn't always follow. 6 months after the fact, you may still be behind. That's why they say the required disclosure to that is the only way to use dollar cost averaging is to continue to invest through that down cycle into the next up cycle.
And Dennis, that's really hard because I know, like, you're putting money in and you're losing more money than you're putting in. But yeah, it's ride it out. Just keep that discipline is what you're saying, even in that case.
And, incredible.
Yeah.
It's amazing the amount. We've talked about this before, the amount of responsibility that each of us has to save for our own retirements. And it's not only to save for it, but to continue to save through it. How do we continue to stay invested or have some money, if you will, in the game that has a potential to perform ahead of inflation? We can all look at those numbers. You know, they're all in a vacuum. But at the same time, the news can be very negative. For instance, I'll just hold this up. This oversold indicator in the markets hadn't happened since 2008, where you see that variety of black marks, if you will, there around at the bottom.
This is another graph that I'm showing Ron.
But I just, obviously, we can't show the radio listeners this. But for us to be able to see, we're in an overbought area up here. Now, in a period of a month or so, we're in an incredibly oversold indicator. That's where it was as of the weekend, this last weekend. And actually, our own consultant said these two charts, and there's another chart here, I'm not going to reference that, indicate that stock prices are extremely oversold. Higher prices are ahead, maybe not Monday, but not too far into the future. Now, was that ever prophetic?
Where did that come from? Who was
our own economic advisor that we get our information from, either on a weekly or biweekly basis? This is the information we try to bring to you, our listeners. We pay for this information. Not only does it help you, we hope, but we also use it to help us take a look into the future and today's current stats that are exceptional. I just wrote here as a note. When will we invest when we feel better? Usually when we feel better, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings are not going to be there when things seem to be falling down around us. It's just tough. Again, the market and or those investors in the stock market are tending to look about 6 months ahead. 6 months. Compare with other prices, homes, businesses, silver. We don't all see those put up in the newspaper headlines, but silver is another great example. A lot of commodities, homes themselves, businesses have all taken perhaps a 5, 10 to 20% discount now because of what's happened with the stock market. What do you mean a business has taken a 20% discount? Well, because their business income has gone down that much. If someone were going to buy it, just about any business on the planet would now be selling at about a 20% discount, even if it's not on the stock market, for a very few. Obviously, there are outliers there. It's interesting to note, because it's always shown in minute-by-minute basis in terms of repricing, sometimes they're inaccurate. Sometimes we have improper information almost, but it tends to reflect the future potential of our economy. And all these factors coming together in terms of the economy tend to point to a very positive stock market over the next 1, 2, 3 year period. And that's what's key. If you can look out longer term, and again, I speak to myself when we're talking about this, things look very positive indeed as an environment for companies to continue to prosper.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the infectious disease specialist with the White House Coronavirus Task Force, said now be alert that next fall, or this is seasonal, we'll squash the curve here, but it will return.
Yes.
And that's why we're accelerating our vaccine research. When you talk about the market being ahead, so if we start to see headlines in October, November that coronavirus cases detected are increasing, Does the market already figure in for that, do you think? Because Fauci's already on record talking about that?
Who knows? It depends on how it responds. Yeah. You know, we can't obviously always know what it's going to say or how it's going to respond at that time. We're already hearing some news of China having some reoccurring cases. So we'll just have to see, especially in those more populous areas. We may well see that in New York City and or Detroit or other larger area, more compact cities, if you will. So that remains to be seen. But by that time, we'll probably have more news of the vaccine and possibly by the end of this year that occurring or us having a vaccine or the vaccine being in enough development to where we can say, well, it should be here by, let's say, January of 21.
Or therapeutic drugs, you know, to treat it.
Or a cure, like you take this, you know, and it helps in so many of the cases. So that's always being developed and will go on.
Yes. If people think effective treatments and vaccines are imminent, life could go back to normal. In this case, could mean coming out of our protective shells into a world powered by loose monetary and physical policy. Historically, markets have tended to anticipate upturns about 6 months before they occur. As a result, we think markets could start looking better over the near term if things get particularly good with vaccines and antivirals, or more likely, in about 6 months as markets anticipate an eventual vaccine, about 12 months before development began.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.